Good afternoon, Boquete Bible Fellowship family. It's Brian and Bob with you again for our weekly podcast. It's Tuesday, April or May 5th. Why Tuesday, you might ask? Well, because we're a day early due to some scheduling conflicts. So, I mean, we're open to change. Don't you agree with that, Brian?
Amen, of course. I mean, I think that's real good to be flexible, open to change, and yeah, this definitely worked better with our schedules this week and may work better with our schedules for the next few weeks. So this is great. Earlier the better.
Yeah. Well, before we get started, would you open us with a prayer, please?
I'd be happy to. Well, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for you. We are so grateful for salvation. That's just been on the front burner of my mind today, how grateful I am that you chose me, that you saved me, that you gave me a new heart, that you were the decisive factor in me coming to know you. And I've just been praising you and thanking you and worshiping you for that that reality this morning. And we're all grateful for you. We're grateful for your sacrifice, Lord Jesus. We're thank you for your willingness to go to the cross on our behalf. And so we just praise you and thank you. I thank you for this time that Bob and I have to just get together and talk about the Word, and specifically talk about some of your gifts, some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts that you give to each one of us according to your own will. And what a fun series this has been. I pray as we continue to go through this over the next, I think, 2 weeks, we're going to try to wrap it up. So I pray as we talk about these gifts, six gifts today, I think. I pray you would give us your words, give us your wisdom, give us your thoughts. Obviously we're trying to cover several gifts, and I'm sure each of us could talk for quite some time on each one of them. So I do pray that you would kind of bridle us and just empower us to and enable us to speak that which you want us to speak, and things that are maybe not necessary to cover at this time, just keep us under control. So we commit it all to you. I pray that you'd speak powerfully through us, and I pray that you would enable our family to really grasp these things, and it really penetrate and perhaps dispel any confusion that exists. So we love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we actually have seven spiritual gifts we're going to talk about today: discernment, exhortation, leadership, pastoring, preaching, teaching, and wisdom.
You're right.
But before we get to that, let's update everyone on what's going on. Not much has changed since we last talked to them, Brian. We're still on lockdown. We're still in isolation.
Yeah. Yeah. Still can only get out. You know, you and me, we get 2 days a week for 2 hours that you can get out. So that's getting old, but hopefully that'll change before too long.
Oh, I hope so. I've been very clear to everyone I talked to that this doesn't work well with my mentality to be locked in.
Yeah. But
the Lord's going to make it all fine in the future. So we just, these are small trials compared to what the early Christians have to go through.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, we have some announcements. Let's just update everyone. I don't think there's been any major change in the Faith and Action Ministry. Lee Wisdom is doing a wonderful job managing that. Mm-hmm. And we encourage everyone that if you have the opportunity, when you go to the store for your own shopping, you buy some rice and beans and take it to Lee in Volcancito. He will help distribute this to all the associated ministries for our church, not just his. He's helped out Canyas Verde. He's helped out Daryl Ish's ministry. He's there to help all of them out. So we're still encouraging everyone to get involved with the Faith and Action Ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally echo that. And I just want to share a quick praise here so our family can, you know, rejoice along with us from the ministries that I've been in contact with, which has been all of them, I think, through either individually or through Lee. It sounds like the giving and the donations to those ministries, not specifically from us here, but from their support base, primarily in the United States and other places, has remained pretty consistent over this time, which has just been great. I mean, people have, you know, different ministry leaders were sharing, you know, these praises, you know, glorifying God because they're able to keep doing what they're doing. It sounds like I don't think we've shared this yet, Bob. We've kind of put together a report. We've had Lee help with kind of gathering some information here to be able to put together a report. And it sounds like lots, you know, of the ministries, not all, but several of the ministries are, they're doing okay. And they're on track to be able to keep doing what they're doing through the end of this month. And when the end of May comes, they're going to be in real trouble. There's going to be real significant needs at that time. And we're expecting, you know, that the church is certainly going to step in, but we're asking, as you just did, you know, for our church members to be thinking along those lines and try to remember rice and beans. I know I forget to think about rice and beans when I'm at the store often. But when I do, I grab some myself, and it's so easy, so cheap. And I'm not saying go wait in line just to get rice and beans. I'm saying grab it while you're there getting something else.
Yes, unfortunately, as the intentions of the government, I believe, are good, but the organization fails, unfortunately. It's just in countries like this, there's not that type of organizational structure that you find in the United States or in first world countries. And so there are a lot of poor people, indigenous people, poor Panamanians who are really struggling simply to feed their families.
Yeah.
It's a sad situation, and our ministries are doing a lot. Associated ministries are doing a lot to help with that.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm so grateful and proud of them for what they're doing and how God's using them right now.
There's no big change as far as the service. We're still doing the online service. Brian, there was a couple of comments the previous week about the sound quality, and you've made some changes, haven't you?
Yeah. Now, this past week, we've been trying to deal with audio and preaching in a fairly, you know, it's not completely empty, but fairly empty office with concrete walls is not great for audio. So this past week I had blankets hung up on the walls and on the floor and pillows and carpets and some clothes and done just about everything I can do without spending a ton of money and getting some real high quality stuff. And I was told that the quality was significantly better than it was the week before.
I've heard that with a few more rugs and a bunch of egg cartons, you could have a sound studio there.
You know it. So I think we're in good shape. If anybody has real problems there, you know, certainly let us know.
All right. The small groups are still going. We've got the Tuesday group is now the Wednesday group, which James Fuller is leading. And they're doing that on Wednesday evenings, same time, around 6:30. Mm-hmm. And then the Wednesday group became the Thursday group. And they do it at 3:30 on the Thursday afternoons. And if anybody's interested, they can send me an email and we can get you invited and entered into one of those two groups. But please feel free to get involved with Bible study during this time of isolation. It's a wonderful way to keep your spirit up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's necessary. I mean, it's a legitimate need that sometimes we kind of forget that it's a need and then we suffer because of it. So I would just encourage you all to maintain meeting that need. And this is one way that we really encourage you to do that. Bob, do you want to share real quick what the groups are doing? What are they studying right now?
Well, we're doing the sermon study. So each week after Brian does his sermon, we kind of pick it apart. We create some questions to delve deeper into it and to be able to discuss what was done during the sermon. I think it's a wonderful thing to do during this time of isolation. It helps us to focus. And it's hard to get into a topical study when you can't meet. But the sermon is there. It's online. People can go back to it. They can hear it. And so until we're through with being in this quarantine situation, we are going to be studying the sermon each week. Yeah. And I think so far this has worked out quite well.
Yeah, and I've always liked the idea of doing the sermon. You know, it allows our family to not just hear it and perhaps memory dump by Monday, but hear it and then they kind of mull over it for a couple of days and kind of think through questions that you put together and then, you know, discuss it a little bit on Thursday. And even if they don't answer a whole lot of questions or maybe they're not, you know, the primary person talking, but they've thought through it and they've, you know, they've kind of recalled several times over several days after hearing it, you know, the first time. I think God really uses that to kind of implant it and make it stick in a way that it doesn't ordinarily stick. And so I'm excited and thrilled this is what we're doing.
Well, let's get into the spiritual gifts. I said we've got six or seven we're going to do today. Mm-hmm. Before we get into that, Brian, is there any prefacing you want to do?
There is some prefacing I want to do, Bob. Yeah, so I've got four things real quick I want to share. So one, by the nature of the way that we've organized these gifts, we've kind of put six or seven here that kind of go well together. That kind of and so because of that, there is some overlap obviously you've already shared which ones we're going to do, but there's some overlap just in the way that we've organized it in this presentation. So I just want to share that. Number two Some of these may be seen as gifts, and some of them may be seen as positions or jobs or responsibilities or roles or, you know, what kind of whatever. And so, you know, for example, let's just use the teaching. You know, you mentioned teaching. So is it possible for someone to teach, or for a teacher to be able to teach things who doesn't have the gift, the spiritual gift of teaching? And to that, I would say, well, of course it is. You know, there's plenty of teachers in the world today that don't have the spiritual gift of teaching. And that certainly applies to a variety of other of the gifts. I mean, basically all the gifts that we're going to talk about today, maybe not all of them, but a good chunk of them. And so I just wanted to, you know, add that really kind of the way, and this is kind of the third thing to preface, really the way I'm choosing to see it and maybe explain it is that for the most part, these are really, and as this applies to next week, it's kind of like an extra dose. I don't think that's the best way to describe it, but it's the way I'm choosing to describe it. It's kind of like someone with the gift of teaching is not necessarily going to be better, but there's just, it's going to be different. There's going to be a Holy Spirit enabling that comes along with that. It does not mean that because someone has the spiritual gift of teaching that they can't grow and that they can't learn. These are gifts separate. You know, it's very different from the gift of apostleship, prophecy, and tongues that we covered the last 3 weeks. These things have skill sets that can be learned. They can even be learned in secular settings. And so you can develop the gift and kind of harness it and learn to use it and apply it better. And there's all sorts of applications to each one of these. Each one of these gifts may have 100 different ways you can apply it and 100 different ways you can use it. So that's the way I'm kind of seeing this, and that's the way I want to approach teaching it. And then lastly, I think this is known and clear, but I just want to make sure in no way is it what we're covering today meant to be exhaustive in our explanation or in scriptural citation. I suspect we're going to cite several verses, not read them all. And of those that we cite, that's not all of them. We could put together lots more. And so this is just kind of almost an overview, so to speak, of these seven giftings or six or seven giftings here, kind of how we see them, ways they can be used, what they're defined by, and some scriptural citation to go along with it. So Bob, anything else you want to add as a preface or how we're planning to approach this today?
No, except I think I'd like everyone to keep in mind that some of these gifts require the help of the Spirit. Sure. I can be a gifted teacher of dancing, but to be a gifted teacher of the Word of God requires the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so some of these do require the assistance of the Holy Spirit that can't be found simply in earthly endeavors.
Exactly. And there's a distinction there, you know, that you're making, which I think is incredibly clear, because we can have secular teachers that teach all sorts of things in the world today. And then we can have teachers of the Word that are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And there's a difference there. And so I appreciate you making that.
All right. Well, the first one we're going to get into is the gift of leadership. What was called the divine strength or ability to influence people at their level while directing and focusing them on the big picture vision or idea. Boy, if that isn't a canned explanation of leadership, I've never seen one.
it's a good one, isn't it, Bob? Leadership. I mean, and a lot of these, and you know, we're planning to hit these, you know, a couple of minutes apiece, not lots of depth here that we're planning to share, because a lot of these are self-explanatory. Leadership. Most of us grasp what leadership means, right?
I think so.
Is there anything you want to add on that?
Well, if you go to the actual verses that have leadership, as in Romans 12, I like the one who leads with zeal. Mm. I mean, there's an actual characteristic of a leader. He has right. to have, or she, they have to have some sort of zeal. What do you think of that?
As far as the spiritual gifting, you mean?
Yes.
Because of course, there's plenty of leaders who have no zeal.
Right.
Right. And so there's this, when God calls us, you know, and this is going to apply to every one of the gifts, you know, when God calls us to these gifts and when he sovereignly distributes these gifts to us, it's not something that we, you know, I've got the gift of, say, I've got the gift of leadership and I cannot stand leading. You know, I'm a recluse and I'm an introvert and I don't want anything to do with anybody and being in front of people and lead. You know, it's just not like that. He really does give us a passion, and it's not always the thing that you're the best at is your spiritual gift. I mean, I think some people maybe have that connotation and think, well, I'm pretty good at this, so this must be my spiritual gift. And sometimes that's true and sometimes that's not. But the way the gifting works is he really does give us a passion for it. And like you said, a zeal for it. And so it's not going to be something we just really can't stand and dread. I mean, the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, is working in us, enabling us not just to do it, but to want to do these things and to have a bend toward them naturally.
Or yes, he actually says in Romans 12, 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Mm. And so I think exactly. That explains exactly what you were just saying. That's God's grace that he gives us for when he gives us each one of these gifts.
Yeah. So some application, Bob, application here. What are some ways that leadership could be used? I mean, what are some maybe outside of the church and in the church? What's that look like?
Well, definitely as leaders in the church of our Lord, we want to be examples to a sinful world. I think that'd be the first thing. Besides, once we leave our corporate church, once we leave the ministering of our own flock, leaders need to also be involved with helping for the expansion of the church. Sure. And to do that, they have to be concerned with the being salt and light, being that lamp to the outside world, a very sinful world. I think that's a very important part of leadership.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, once we, you know, it doesn't stop within these four walls, so to speak, of my office or of our church. You know, when Christians go into the community, they can, you know, I love the example of just a normal businessman. Perhaps he's running a small business and he's in a leadership position or a management position in some sense in the small business or bigger business, doesn't matter. You can still use your gift of a spiritual gift of leadership in a very secular role for the glory of God. And so it doesn't stop at the church, but certainly within the church, you know, we would see some applications of this could be deacons, could be elders, could be, you know, which includes, could be pastors, but it could be, you know, more than those things. It could be people that kind of appoint and kind of take the lead on certain ministries. And so I would say, you know, if we got a bunch of ministry leaders, we call them, if they don't have some skill set of leadership, there's going to be a problem, or they need to have, you know, people partnering with them that do have it. And I tend to think that all of our ministries, all of our ministry leaders either have this gift or have people partnering with them that have this gift.
We're very fortunate because the Lord was not shy in giving us examples of leaders and leadership in Timothy and Titus, mm-hmm. qualifications. And so he shared a lot with his flock through his apostles in order to make ensure that I think that his churches going forward would have the right kind of leaders, the right types of spiritual leaders in the vein that he wants them to be for his church.
Exactly. Absolutely.
All right. Well, the next gift is teaching. The gift of teaching is the divine strength or ability to study and learn from the scriptures, primarily to bring understanding and depth to other Christians. Our second canned definition.
Yeah, these are all going to be canned definitions, and then we'll expand on them, of course. Yeah. So you know, teaching. Let's sum it up. You can obviously you got to understand it and learn it so that you can teach it. You can't teach it if you don't grasp it. So there's something there with you being able to grasp it in the first place. And then there's something else with you being able to teach other people. And so there's really, you know, what I see is probably, you know, kind of included in this would be the ability to communicate well, in some sense, being able to express yourself well. And it depends on what you're teaching. It may be the ability to do hands-on things in a way that helps someone learn. So it may not have so much to do with communication, but I do think communication is involved there. So, you know, it's not just, again, it's not just going to apply to scriptural things, but it has a huge application to scriptural things.
Yeah, I think communication is essentially either verbal or written or both. It would be even better. There's a wonderful example of great teaching in Acts 18 with Apollos teaching at Ephesus, mm-hmm. and the scripture from Ephesians 4 kind of lumps people who have to be good communicators together. It says he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So all of those gifts there have to in some way be good communicators in order to help with the building up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry of our Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just in case people didn't know this, you know, I think this is my gifting, or one of my gifting, if it's possible that you have more than one. I think sometimes people maybe have two, but I do think everybody has one. Everybody has one. Everybody has at least one. Sometimes people have more than one. And then, you know, and I think we mentioned this maybe a week or 2 weeks ago, but there's times where I think God may enable us to do a certain thing or a certain skill, you know, for a time, but it may not be my spiritual gift, but it may just be, you know, I'm in a scenario where I really need to be able to express myself well. And normally I'm not able to do that, but golly, I mean, God supernaturally enabled me to do it really well when I was evangelizing with this person. And, you know, praise be to him. But I'm not normally like that, but he enabled me, you know, for a time to do that. So there's that way of looking at it as well.
All right. Well, the next one is exhortation. The divine strength or ability to strengthen, comfort, or urge others to action through the written or spoken word and biblical truth. Another gift that requires communication, Brian.
Absolutely. An exhortation is not, I like this. This definition is really good because a lot of times people, I think there's two different sides to exhortation. And kind of the way, I just literally Googled it and wrote down the definition. It says, exhort means to strongly encourage or urge. And so there's two halves. There's kind of two sides to this. There's the encouraging and there's the urging. And so, you know, of course, a pastor or a teacher or a preacher, someone who's there's going to be some level of exhortation. It may be entirely exhortation, but exhortation for change, exhortation interpreted with encouragement would literally be that which is going to build us up. It's going to be encouraging. It's going to strengthen us. But there's the other half, you know, that I just mentioned, the exhortation side where we're urging, where we're generally urging for repentance and for change and preaching the biblical truth in that sense. So there's kind of these two halves to exhortation.
There's a wonderful example of exhortation in Hebrews 10, where it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Absolutely.
And great example.
It is a great example. And by reading that, you brought up a question that we haven't prepared for and haven't talked about, haven't discussed it at all, but I'm going to ask you anyway. I'm going to put you on the spot, Bob, and then you can put me on the spot right back if you want. The call there in that passage is to not forsake the assembly. I mean, the call is to not forsake, as some have, it says, gathering together. So, you know, how are we to apply that to our situation now? Would you say we have forsaken it, or would you say we haven't forsaken it?
I would say we have absolutely not forsaken it, and I'll explain why. And I had this conversation with somebody about a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. Our God is not a God of legalism. He is a God of our hearts. He looks at our hearts. He measures our hearts. He sees where our hearts are at in connection with him and his son, Jesus Christ. And so are the intents of our heart are the most important thing in how we live our lives in the pattern of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And so he understands what's happening in the world. He's the sovereign over everything. If he didn't want this virus, he wouldn't have this virus. Mm-hmm. He understands that governments are his ministers. It says so in Romans 13. And so these governments have asked us to isolate. And so good and Christ-like people who are his disciples have found other means now to get together, to meet, to talk, either through chat groups or through Zoom or through however you want to do it, online services. And so I don't think our Lord is worried about this at all. I think our God understands, and I think those who are making the extra effort to go to meet these services or view them online or attend Bible studies, he's finding this very, very pleasing.
I couldn't agree more, Bob. And I would add almost a different approach here. Well, not a different. It's kind of where you started with our heart. You know, this is about our heart, as you said. And so, you know, the exhortation in the passage that you read is toward people who have just kind of, they maybe the laziness has set in. Maybe they would rather sleep in. Maybe they have other things that are better to do or more important to them. Other priorities have shifted around. And so they have literally made a habit of not going to church. It's not that they want to and can't. It's not that they are having to do remote things like we're doing. It's not that a situation has prevented them. It's that they just don't want to. They've found other things to do And of course, we all know people. We've all known people throughout our lives who kind of fit this mold where they say, yeah, you know, I kind of go once every couple of months. You know, it's just not that important to me. That's what this is getting at. It's not getting at the situation that we're in right now. So I don't, you know, if somebody says, well, you know, you've forsaken the assembly, I say, well, absolutely, no, we haven't. And let me explain to you why. And then explain everything you just said.
Yes, I had, I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago, and they asked a similar question. It wasn't about that, but I'm forgetting now what it was about. And I had basically the same answer. I think you've got to understand that our God is not a God of legalism. He's a God of heart. Mm-hmm. He is a God who looks at our hearts and how we live our lives in connection to Him. And so I wouldn't be worried about details or if you're dotting I's or crossing T's. That's not the Christian faith. Am I wrong?
You were probably debating somebody on eternal security.
No, I wasn't. I would have remembered that one. But
yeah, I want to add here before we move on with teaching and exhortation and probably this next one as well. Kind of what you said toward the beginning with the distinction between the two gifts from like a spiritual versus a secular perspective, because secular people that do not know God and do not possess Holy Spirit don't have a gift of exhortation can exhort. And people, you know, the same with leadership, the same with teaching. One thing here that I find really important and certainly incredibly applicable to me as a teacher and a preacher and to you as well, Bob, who's actively teaching, is that without the Spirit, like you said at the beginning, it's not going to work. Use an example here. Sunday morning, for example, and I'm preaching the word. And let's say I'm the best preacher or the best orator or the best communicator, or I'm, you know, I have the most creative examples and illustrations and on and on and on and on. It's all useless unless God Himself is working in the hearts and in the minds of the people listening. And so it doesn't matter how good we are at teaching or using this skill. If God is not involved in this, overtly involved, ruling and reigning in a sense, in the way we're using our gifting, when it's a spiritual gift, it's not going to have the same impact, the same result that we're talking about here. And so that was a good distinction you made, and I wanted to specifically apply that to how it would be with teaching and with preaching.
All right. Well, the next one is pastor or shepherd. The divine strength or ability to care for the personal needs of others by nurturing and mending life issues. Hmm. A lot of people think that pastor is also the same as preacher or preaching. You and I had a bit of a discussion about that. Can you delve into that a little bit for us?
Sure. We don't see, and I'm trying to make this brief here. You know, we don't see the gift of preaching listed in that sense. I think there are some translations that do, but really you see preaching is really prophecy. There's a lot of, you know, there's different applications here, but there's a major application of preaching using the gift of prophecy. You also see preaching embedded in this gift of teaching, embedded in this gift of exhortation, and certainly embedded and expected in the gift of pastoring and shepherding. Because we get all sorts of, like you talked about earlier, the qualifications and descriptions of what these pastors and shepherds, namely elders, will be able to do. And so teaching and refuting and rebuking and exhorting and all those things are requirements for them. And so it kind of goes hand in hand. But, you know, part of the point that I want to make here, and I think that you're alluding to as well, is you don't have to be, to be a shepherd and to be a pastor, you don't have to preach. Right. And so just because, you know, say, well, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, you don't have to be a preacher or you don't have to be a pastor to do some of these things. I think there's a tendency for us to say, well, that's the pastor's job or that's, you know, the preacher's job. And I don't think that's how it applies. I think, you know, the definition you just gave us was the divine strength and ability to care for personal needs, to nurture them, to mend life issues. I mean, there's all kinds of applications that come out of that gifting that are not a preacher or a pastor necessarily. It may be somebody who's, you know, I know of several women in our church who are doing a phenomenal job keeping up with lots of the women in our church and reaching out to them. And they notice when they're not at church and they ask, you know, what they can do, if there's any needs, see how they're doing. You know, there's a lot of that that comes from this gifting that applies outside of the kind of traditional where our minds go, which is pastor or preaching There's just, it's not so confined. God does not confine it so much to a box like we do.
No, I would agree with you completely on this one. I think shepherd, pastor shepherd can be a separate gift from preaching completely. I mean, it involves nurturing of the flock, the shepherding, the oversight, a love for the flock, encouragement. I think you can be a pastor shepherd without preaching completely.
Of course, absolutely. And so, you know, preaching is one minor application.
I think that's probably one of the ones that's most misunderstood.
I totally agree. It's greatly misunderstood. How's that? Yeah. Let's use you as the example. Bob is, if you're listening to this, then you've probably heard Bob preach. He preached once when I was sick in January. And I think he's incredibly good at it. I think he's gifted at it. I know you'd like to hear more of him, but he really doesn't feel that God's calling him to preach at this time. He does feel that God is calling him to be prepared to be a backup as our elder, as our other elder, if something happens to me or if I'm unavailable, which he did a phenomenal job of that in January. Bob has become more so over the months and years now. Just an incredible shepherd. I mean, I've got to see in Bob his heart for you guys that are listening. You know, his heart for the flock, and he does, you know, in many ways a better job than I do of checking in with people and ministering to people. I'm so grateful for Bob because he and I complement each other in many ways, and I'm incredibly grateful for that, for this team that God's put together. But I think Bob's a primary example where Bob is an incredible pastor shepherd and does not primarily preach.
Talk about putting me on the spot.
I didn't put you on the spot. I put you on a pedestal.
But don't do that. We don't want to put anybody on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Eventually they all fall off. But exactly. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Brian. Mm. The next gift we're going to talk about is wisdom, the strength or ability to understand and to bring clarity to situations and circumstances, often through applying the truths of Scripture in a practical way. That's some people call it the word of wisdom, but this is a practical application of the truths of Scripture to bring clarity to situations and circumstances.
Yeah. And I almost feel like we're, you know, like I said at the beginning, kind of how I prefaced, you know, it almost feels like we're repeating ourselves here because you see, you know, how this would overlap with teaching, for example, or with shepherding, or with exhorting, for example. Bob, what would you say to somebody who says, I'm just not wise. You know, I don't have the gift of wisdom, and so I can't be wise.
Well, I would first ask them how they know they don't have the gift of wisdom. And what exactly, what praying did they do? What the discussion with the Holy Spirit? What insight did they ask of the Lord before they even came to that decision that they did not have any particular spiritual gift?
But I'm with you. But let's say through that discussion, they make it real clear to us that they don't have this gift. Maybe their gift is something else. Let's say Brian came to you and said, I don't have this. I have no wisdom. I don't know how to get wisdom. I'm kind of hopeless because my gift is teaching. Is there any chance that I could ever acquire wisdom, or am I just I'm doomed to be foolish my whole life?
Well, the joker in me would like to say, well, if you had wisdom, you'd know the answer to that. but as we discussed previously, God disseminates his spiritual gifts to his flock as he sees fit for each one of us and our role in his church, in the body of Christ. And so you I don't believe, and I'm pretty sure you agree with me, that you can go out and develop or teach or study to get these spiritual gifts.
Right. No, I completely agree with you. Where I'm getting at partially here is not the spiritual gift of wisdom, because I'm with you. There's no way we can attain this. And yet, you know, from a secular perspective, we can develop skills to lead. We can develop skills to teach. We can definitely do some exhortation. We could probably care for people's needs and actually care about people, especially our friends and family, even all from a secular perspective. So, you know, I guess where I'm getting is, you know, I want to encourage anybody who's listening that wisdom is not limited to the people who have the gift of wisdom. Certainly the spiritual gift of wisdom is limited to those who have the spiritual gift of wisdom, which is what you're saying. But if we lack wisdom, or we want to possess some wisdom, well, James tells us to ask, first of all, and that God will give us liberally to those who ask, specifically for wisdom if we lack it. But, you know, read the book of Proverbs. You know, we can definitely develop wisdom. And the next one we're going to talk about is discernment, and I'll let Bob lead us there in a second. But that's similar. You know, we can definitely develop some discerning skills, namely through reading the Word. Read through Proverbs, like I just said, you know, to develop some wisdom. There's so much wisdom literature, literally wisdom literature, to be found in the Word to kind of hone those skills, even if we don't have the quote-unquote spiritual gift of it, but we can still hone those skills.
Yes, and we have the Holy Spirit within each one of us. If we are born again in the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is within us. That helps us to see clearly the scriptural truths and the truths that are of God. And so we have that amount of wisdom to understand the spiritual things of God.
Exactly.
And we're not simply left without any wisdom. I didn't want to give that impression.
Yeah. No, I think you've expressed it well.
All right. Discernment would be our last one. The strength or ability to spiritually identify falsehood, to distinguish between right and wrong motives, and the spiritual forces at work in situations. This is a very interesting one. I'm glad you saved it for last.
I'm glad you're taking the lead on this one, man. No, I mean, I'll comment and then you can comment. You know, discernment, like you said, you know, the first thing that came to my mind is, you know, we're being able to distinguish between spirits in a sense, being able to you said discern falsehoods. It's somebody who can listen to a pastor, you know, especially today. The false teachers are not primarily literally dressing up in you know, they don't appear as wolves. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. And so they appear as sheep. And they do a pretty good job. And they don't just come out and teach a false doctrine. They teach lots of true doctrines. And then they teach some false doctrine. And they kind of sprinkle it in. And there's lots of half-truths. And there's lots of things that are true. And so it makes it hard to tell sometimes. I mean, some of these guys are really smooth talkers. And they can deceive the masses. And so he who has the gift, or she who has the gift of discernment has an easier time, not to say that other people who don't have the spiritual gift can't discern, because they can. But he who has the spiritual gift of discernment, it's like it's not even really a guessing game. It's like he speaks, you know, a few sentences and their red flags are going up all over the place and light bulbs are, you know, I mean, it's like sirens are going off. They're like, this guy, you know, something's wrong with this guy. You know, something's off with this guy. And everybody else, you know, is sitting there like, what are you talking about? You know, it's just the introduction of the sermon. I mean, we haven't even, and the people with this gift are already able to see. And they can see clearly. They can see things that it's almost like the gift of prophecy in a sense. And I do think discernment and the prophetic go together. Often they're able to see things, discern things in a way that others can't, see things in a way that others can't.
We get some excellent examples of good discernment and bad discernment in the Bible.
Yes, we do.
If you, everyone out there, remember Matthew, the chapter 16, right after our Lord sort of praised Peter, said that, praise to you, Peter, for knowing this, for this was not given to you wisdom by men, and upon this rock I will build my church. Right after that, the next paragraph, Jesus tells his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and be killed and risen from the third day, and Peter takes him aside and begins to rebuke our Lord and telling him, no, never going to happen. And so the Lord turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. So Peter discerned incorrectly there. Yeah. And I love those two paragraphs side by side, because it reminded me of that, you know, that saying, you know, one minute you're a hero, the next minute you're a zero. It used to be a saying they would say in business world all the time. And here we have in one paragraph, the Lord praising Peter, and the next paragraph, Peter showing no discernment whatsoever, and the Lord taking him aside and saying, basically calling him Satan for daring to rebuke the Lord himself.
Yeah, and totally not understanding, and you know, Satan is working through you to try to get to me right now. And, exactly. You know, it's like he totally missed it.
And then a good example of discernment is in Acts 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, when they sold their property and they brought their gift to at the feet of the apostles, and Peter was there. It was very, very obvious that from the scripture that they had agreed to contribute everything they sold the property for. And Peter was able to discern that they were lying. They only brought part of the gift.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, poor Ananias and Sapphira were both died on the spot. But Peter was able to rightly discern that their motives, that their heart were not correct.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so there's a discerning of, let's see how I want to say this. There's an ability to see and to discern here. And yet I would say even the person who has the spiritual gift of discernment is unable to discern the hearts, and the motives and the things, the hearts, the hidden things. We can make probably fairly accurate calls. And yet God says, even though you're making what may be a pretty accurate call, you can't discern the hearts. He tells us that. So there's a differentiation there. And then lastly, you know, a real big application that we use in our church with this is, you know, we view ourselves as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We endeavor as leaders of the church to give him literal headship of our church. And so we want him to lead. And so it's our primary responsibility, the way we see it, our primary job, our primary responsibility as far as leading and making decisions and things like that is to discern the will of God. And so we ask for him to grant us, not necessarily the spiritual gift, maybe the spiritual gift for a time, to be able to discern and receive his will and his direction and then follow him to the best of our ability.
I would also caution everyone that if someone was to come to you and say they had the gift of discernment and gave you a discernment about yourself or your life, very, very important that we test the spirits, as it says in 1 John 4. We need to make sure that what someone is discerning, if at all possible, it matches, if you can. It's not always easy, but the spirit of our Lord, the love of our Lord, the character of our Lord, there's a lot more there. Maybe you want to expand on this a little, Brian.
I mean, I think you've covered it well. I want to be sure, you know, I don't think God's primary way of dealing with us is to send somebody else to us and say, well, you know, I kind of discern this and this is what you're supposed to do. You know, he doesn't do that a lot. I think he does do that sometimes, but he doesn't primarily make someone else to be our high priest. He is our high priest, and we are able to hear directly from him.
I'm referring mostly to the plethora of false teachers, prophets, right, and people that are roaming the world now. I mean, it's a very likely scenario that could happen.
Yeah, and I know that's what you're saying. You're not saying the other side, and I'm saying I'm trying to agree with you in a sense, saying that, you know, he primarily doesn't function that way. And so if we got lots of people coming up to us trying to function that way, it's not to say that he never functions that way. I think there are a few times where he does, but it's very rare, and I can explain that separately, you know, some other time with anyone that has questions. But if that happens, what should our natural response should kind of be, you know, this doesn't sound right. You know, this is, I need to really be extra discerning here if somebody, you know, so there's a call, and kind of what you're saying that with this gift, beyond the quote unquote gift of discernment, we're all called, as you just said, to test every spirit. We're all called in Acts 17 to be good Bereans, to study the scriptures, to discern if what he's saying is matching what's written here in the word. And so we're all called to be discerning, and growing in our ability to discern and growing in discernment is part of spiritual maturity. As we grow in Christ, as we grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be growing in our ability to discern.
Okay. Well, that was a good discussion of spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. Next week, we're going to do, giving, generosity, healing, helps, hospitality, service, evangelism. Well, that'd be my favorite. And administration. We're going to try and wrap it up next week, aren't we, Brian?
I think so. And so it's kind of like last week where, you know, this week we almost could have just done one big discussion, kind of looping all these together, but I don't think that's what is best. Doing it the way we did, I think, is one of the better ways to do it. And we were able to cover, you know, six, really seven gifts here just now. And so we'll basically do the same thing. It'll be kind of grouped together in a way that they kind of work together. It's more like ministries and it's more like ministries next week, different ministries and things like that. But it's still going to be kind of in the same line of extra dose, you know, kind of additional from the Holy Spirit that we're in the same vein that we're talking about today.
All right. Well, do we have any final thoughts or anything else we want to add before we close today with prayer?
Bob, I can't think of anything. You know, you mentioned the small groups. You mentioned, obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, you're aware we have a podcast. I think there's still some people. I heard from somebody earlier this week that that didn't know we were doing one. And so, you know, I guess, you know, talk to, if you're in contact with friends or with church members, you know, mention it. See if they're listening, let them know it exists. You know, let's pass the word around that we have small groups, that we have podcasts, the things that people listening right now know, because we say it every week, but it seems like there's still people, you know, within the flock that don't know these things.
Yep. Okay.
So that's my only encouragement, I guess. I don't think there's any other announcements or any updates or anything I'm missing.
No. Shall I close us in prayer?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you close us in prayer and we'll call it a day. This has been a great time, Bob.
Well, we'd be kind of foolish calling it a night, but okay, let's close in prayer.
You're right.
Heavenly Father, I have so much fun getting together with my brother Brian in these podcasts, or at any time. Thank you so much for providing him to our church, and he and his family have been a real blessing to us. And during this time of isolation, Lord, as we're talking about spiritual gifts, please help your Holy Spirit to encourage those within our flock to utilize those spiritual gifts. There's a lot of things that can be done even when you're sitting at home. I know it's a difficult time for many, but our Lord is there with you. He loves you. He loves us. He wants his church to continue growing and to continue spreading his message. We thank him for everything in our lives. We praise him for everything. And we ask him to continue to guard and guide our footsteps as we go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Bob, and we'll see you next week.
All right, brother. Take care.